another major media lie goes up in flames. Good morning, Boston. Okay, a lot to talk about today. I got to tell you, the Biden trip now to the United Kingdom, it's going from one disaster to another. So we first had Kamala Harris's disaster. That was disaster one. Well, now welcome to disaster two. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in this show. But first, my friends, I would be remiss if I did not at least discuss this story. So as you know, one of the biggest lines of attack against President Trump was that he gassed peaceful protesters on June 1st, 2020. This was something that was used by the media against him relentlessly. It was the summer of the George Floyd riots. And the entire media, and I mean CNN, NPR, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC, the broadcast networks, the Biden campaign, Kamala Harris, all of them libeled and smeared Trump, saying, you want to see proof that he's a dictator? He deliberately used tear gas against so-called peaceful protesters in order to clear a path for him to have a photo op holding the Bible at St. John's Episcopal Church. It was one of the biggest stories of the year. And that line that he used the federal government, in fact, according to them, he used the military to tear gas peaceful protesters, was repeated again and again and again throughout the summer of 2020, throughout the fall of 2020, throughout the entire election campaign, in order to present him as an authoritarian thug, as a wannabe dictator. In fact, it was part of their case that you can't allow him to come and have a second term. He must be stopped because then he'll be go from a wannabe Hitler to the real thing. Then he gets a second term. It's Hitler. It's Hitler. We're going to be living under a Nazi dictatorship. The concentration camps will be following. And what was their evidence? Look at what happened at Lafayette Park. He ordered the military to deploy tear gas against these wonderful, saintly, peaceful protesters. It was a lie. It was a monstrous lie. In fact, I pointed all of this out at the time, saying this is clearly a lie with all of the evidence. Well, now, forget Jeff Kuhner. Forget the evidence at the time. Now there has been a thorough, comprehensive report by an independent inspector general of the Interior Department. And by the way, an inspector general who served in the Obama administration. In fact, he served in both of Obama's terms as a counsel. So this wasn't done by some Republican. He's not. He's a registered Democrat. This wasn't done by some pro-Trump hack. No, in fact, he's an Obama guy. But let that go. In the IG's report, the IG says through an exhaustive, comprehensive examination of all of the facts, all of the evidence, a decision was made by the United States Park Police, which, by the way, is not the U.S. military. It's federal law enforcement, but let that one go, that the United States Park Police made the decision to clear out the protesters from Lafayette Park and to build an anti-scaling fence. This was done hours before anyone even heard about Trump wanting to eventually walk over to St. John's Church in order to hold a photo op and deliver a small speech. So when they looked at the actual evidence, according now to the IG's report, they didn't clear out the protesters. They didn't build the anti-scaling fence. They didn't do anything in order to facilitate some kind of a photo op. In fact, when the decision was made, nobody even knew that Trump wanted to walk over to St. John's Episcopal Church. But more than that, what they found out was as follows. Tear gas was never used by the United States Park Service when they began to clear out the protesters at Lafayette Park. What they did use were pepper balls and smoke canisters. Now, smoke canisters are not tear gas. It's just smoke. It doesn't make your eyes water. It doesn't make your face sting. They're a completely different use of crowd control tactics or techniques. So tear gas was never, ever used by the U.S. Park Police against the protesters, ever. Now, there was tear gas used. This was at a separate protest after they were cleared from Lafayette Park, and the tear gas that was used was by the Metropolitan DC Police Department under the orders, the direct orders, not of Trump or Mike Pence or William Barr or anyone else in the Trump administration, but under the direct orders of, listen to this, the Democrat mayor of Washington, Muriel Bowser. So the only time tear gas was ever used was at a separate protest away from Lafayette Square by the Washington, D.C. police under the orders, the direct orders, from the Democrat mayor. It had nothing to do with Trump. But hold on, there's even more. As I reported at the time, now it has been 100% confirmed in the IG report in overwhelming documentation, witness testimony, and literally video footage. The U.S. Park Police for 2 days were being pelted with projectiles. This wasn't a quote-unquote mostly peaceful protest. It was a riot. And that park police agents or officers had been hospitalized. They had been pelted with bricks. Remember, this is Black Lives Matter. This is Antifa. They were already burning Minneapolis to the ground. They were burning Seattle. They were burning Portland. This was after George Floyd. They had already launched many violent riots across Washington, D.C. In fact, over half a dozen of them. Their goal, in fact, was to storm the White House. That's why they had to desperately build up anti-scale fencing and push them away from Lafayette Park, because this was, in fact, an insurrection, a real insurrection, where their goal was to scale the White House grounds, storm the White House, and, as they admitted, execute and kill President Trump and Mike Pence. So the U.S. Park Police said, get them out of here. Now, they pelted the park police with rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, bricks, whatever they could get their hands on, urine. Many police officers were eventually hospitalized. That's when the decision was made on the third day, clear them out. Clear them out. Now, after they were cleared out, after they put up the anti-scale fencing, then President Trump decided that he wanted to, he gave a speech about the importance of law and order. In fact, it was a very important speech, to me, a prophetic speech, but let that go. He warned that crime is going to soar, that homicides and murder rates are going to explode, that in fact, it's going to be the inner cities and many minorities in inner cities who are really going to ultimately pay the price for this assault, all-out assault on law and order and the police. That's when he held his photo op. The whole thing was a lie. It was a lie. It was never a peaceful protest. Tear gas was never used, and it was never done for some kind of a photo op on behalf of Trump. In fact, Let me very quickly. Here is what the media reported at the time, and the lie continued to be propagated again and again. This, Elizabeth Warren said at the time, the president of the United States tear gassed peaceful protesters. Joe Biden, the buffoon on the campaign trail, he's using the American military against the American people. Hillary Clinton, tonight, the president of the United States used the American military to shoot peaceful protesters with rubber bullets and tear gas them. CNN, peaceful protesters just had rubber bullets and tear gas shot at them so the president could have a photo op. Kamala Harris, Donald Trump just tear gassed peaceful protesters for a photo op. And on and on and on it went. My friends, NPR peddled a lie. CNN peddled a lie. MSNBC peddled a lie. The New York Times, the Washington Post, hell, the Post was given an award for peddling the lie. And all leading Democrats peddled the lie. Are they now going to retract it? Are they going to retract their lies and libel and defamation? And should they retract their libel, lies, and defamation? Your calls next. .618 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, so the media now wants to know, the liberal establishment media, the Democrat media complex, they want to know why there is now no longer any faith or trust in them, that they have lost all credibility whatsoever. Well, look at the lies they peddled over Lafayette Square. And the reason why they peddled those lies over Lafayette Square is not because they got the story wrong. They deliberately got the story wrong. They deliberately peddled outright lies, false information, slanderous claims against the president, propaganda, because they hated him. And so to destroy him, to undermine him, to wound him, to taint him, going into the election season, they deliberately concocted the narrative. We now know the false narrative, the big lie, that he ordered so-called peaceful protesters to be gassed. Now, you want to see how bad it's getting for the media? They don't realize no one believes them anymore. They have destroyed their own credibility. It is so bad. Listen now to this. This is C-SPAN. C-SPAN taking in calls. And listen now to what the viewers say in C-SPAN regarding CNN and their resident eunuch, Brian Stelter. Roll cut 32, Christian.
Yeah, Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard, and I'm a news junkie. He made the statement just a few minutes ago that he is all the stories are always evolving. Yeah, his stories absolutely evolve.
Brian Stelter.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it.
Savannah, Georgia. Rick, good morning. You're next.
Yes, I was just wondering if you still feel like Michael Avenatti is the greatest thing in the world and should run for president of the United States.
That's
and
funny.
My suggestion is whatever CNN says, do the opposite and you'll be fine.
Stelter was on C-SPAN and they're like, I mean, they were roasting the guy. Now, this is the point that Glenn Greenwald makes, and he's dead on. He talked extensively, his latest piece is brilliant, on now this massive lie regarding Lafayette Park that has now been exposed by the IG's report. And what he points out is that this corporate media, the corporate fake news media, the corporate media establishment, a la CNN, a la MSNBC, a la New York Times and Washington Post. They are the ones that keep screaming to the heavens about misinformation, disinformation, as the Russians would call it, disinformatio. And that, in fact, people who spread it, there needs to be online censorship. Anyone who supports Trump, censor them. Anyone who believes that hydroxychloroquine works to prevent or treat the coronavirus, censor them, suppress them. It's misinformation. They are the ones who are spreading misinformation. And they have been doing it on a massive, reckless scale. And as Glenn Greenwald, by the way, an anti-Trump leftist, a man of the left, but of the civil rights, civil liberties left. In other words, an honorable left. And a journalist, first and foremost. As he put it, the Steele dossier, garbage, complete lies. Russia collusion, the biggest lie of our time. Lafayette Park, lies. The Russian bounties, you remember that? That turned out now, absolute lie. Everything the media was reporting on Trump were lies, and they were deliberate lies. Now, another study has come out. Another. It's day after day after day now. Now that the vaccines are being administered and people are taking them. Now that they're being rolled out by the tens and tens of millions. In other words, the horse has now left the barn. Now this information is coming out. Hydroxychloroquine saves people's lives by up to 200% survival rate. In the latest study, hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak, according now to MedRxiv, in a major study just published a couple days ago, has now revealed that there was always a very effective treatment and a very effective preventative for the coronavirus. It is what President Trump had said in a tweet in March 2020. It was hydroxychloroquine with zinc, with a Z-Pak. It was there the whole time. And yet the media, taking orders from Fauci and ultimately from communist China, because they're the ones who control the corporate media, they're the ones who've infiltrated the Democratic Party, they're the ones who now own Fauci, Chicken Little, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. The order was, we don't want to save lives. We want this pandemic. We want people to die. They've got to die by the hundreds of thousands. That's how you bring Trump down. Don't let people take hydroxychloroquine. That was the thinking behind the scenes. It's now very obvious in retrospect. What did the media do? The media lied about hydroxychloroquine. The media deliberately said it didn't work when it did work. Or it cited bogus studies. In other words, they deliberately covered up and spread misinformation about a treatment that was available from the very beginning. And because the media lied, people died. And more than that, the only way they could have gotten emergency use authorization for Moderna, for Pfizer, for Johnson & Johnson, for the COVID vaccines, quote unquote, is if there's no effective treatment available at the time. There was. In fact, there was hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak and ivermectin. They had not one, they had two. And the media went on a propaganda campaign, a media jihad, to disqualify and discredit both of those, up to and including, by the way, censorship. Censoring any doctor, any researcher, any professor of medicine who was speaking the truth in order to ram through their agenda. And now we're living with the consequences of this. And you're not going to believe what they are. Big story in New Hampshire next. We'll be right back. 6:31 on the great WRKO. Okay, horror in New Hampshire. I'm going to get to that story. I just want to let everybody know President Trump is back. There's going to be a major rally tomorrow in Wisconsin. Mike Lindell of MyPillow is going to be one of the central speakers. Trump will be speaking via satellite. He won't be there in person, but he will be speaking via satellite. And that's now part of numerous rallies or multiple rallies that he's going to be holding throughout June and July. He is now starting to increase his public profile. And he's also now going right after Joe Biden. And he is tattooing him on his trip right now to the United Kingdom. I'm going to get to all of that later in the show. But President Trump is back. He spoke last week at the Republican convention in North Carolina. Tomorrow, he'll be speaking at a major rally in Wisconsin. Okay. The point of it all was to overthrow and oust President Trump in a coup. That's why the media had a propaganda campaign. That's why they pushed the coronavirus, the narrative that we were all going to die and the only solution was the vaccine. And they deliberately lied and downplayed the effectiveness and the treatment capabilities of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. There were not one, there were two treatments and preventatives. So now they're pushing the vaccine. It is getting so bad. Listen now to this, okay? I'm just going to tell you the story, and you tell me what this is now starting to remind you of. I'm not going to say anything. I want to get your honest, unfiltered opinion. In Exeter, New Hampshire, there was a recent high school prom where, listen now to this, unvaccinated students who attended that prom in Exeter, New Hampshire were, and I'm not making this up, were numbered with a Sharpie pen. And then they were tracked throughout the evening. Apparently, there was a prom that took place on Monday night. And those unvaccinated students who attended that prom in Exeter, all of them were forced to have a number written on them, with a Sharpie pen. And then underclassmen were tracking them and were ordered to track them throughout the entire evening. In fact, it got so bad that these unvaccinated students not only had a number put on them and were being watched and surveilled the whole night by underclassmen who were monitoring who they spoke to, where did they go, did they go to the bathroom, what time. But when they were on the dance floor and they're dancing, they had to raise their hands after every three or four songs. So their numbers could be recorded by other underclass students, allegedly for contact tracing purposes. So you want to talk about stigmatizing the unvaccinated. You want to talk about singling them out to the point of they've got markers, they've got colors, they've got numbers on them, they're being followed, and then they do three or four dances, and all of them, you're required, whether you like it or not, if you're unvaccinated, you put your hand up, and then someone walks in, okay, what's your name? Is it correlated to this number? Okay, we're going to watch you. We keep watching you. Who are you dancing with? Who's this guy? Who's this girl? Who's this person? Hold on. It gets even worse. It gets even worse. Apparently, there was also a list of all of the student names, their first name and their last name, and the information whether they were vaccinated or not, their vaccination status, was left on the table outside after the prom. It was found the next morning. Now, and so people could have seen it. They could have seen if your daughter or your son or whoever had been vaccinated. And they would know, because they would know the full person's name. And it was just left dangling there. They just literally left it there on the table. Now, furthermore, according to the parents, and they're outraged, they are livid. They were told, according to them, that none of this was communicated to them, that they had no idea their kids were going to be marked up, that they were going to be followed, that their vaccination status was going to be revealed to the entire school, to their peers, to the staff, to the teachers, to everyone. In fact, they said that they were going to keep their kids, all the medical information they give them, that this was going to be kept confidential. But instead, it was released to the entire public and to the entire school. Now, they were also told, according to at least several parents, that those that were vaccinated, it was optional to provide a copy of their vaccine card, the vaccine passport. Remember, I told you they were going to try to impose this bit by bit by bit by bit? Well, here it is. In Exeter, New Hampshire, you come in and they were told, well, if you want us to know your child is vaccinated, fine, it's optional. Bring the vaccine card, the passport. But if you don't want to, it's okay. Well, that's not true. They lied. Because those that showed up with a vaccine passport, there was a different marker or color that I guess whatever, an X or whatever they put on their shoulder or on their hand or wrist or whatever. No numbers. No numbers for them. Different color, no numbers, and they were left alone the whole night. They could dance 100 dances. You don't have to put up your hand. You can go to the punch bowl. You can go to the bathroom. You can do whatever. No one was following you. But the unvaccinated, they were the ones with the numbers, and they were the ones who were being followed. Now, apparently, even those that were vaccinated but did not have the vaccine card, they also had the black Sharpie pen put on them, and they were also numbered. I don't know what else to tell you. Now, a couple of points, and then I want to ask you what you think. 617-266-6868 is the number. Number one, this is such a gross violation of HIPAA laws. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. First, leaving the list of names outside on a table, stating who's vaccinated and who's not, that to me is an intolerable, unconscionable release of private medical information. This is no one else's business. And that information was given to the school under the condition that it would be kept private and confidential by the school. So number one, there's a lot of lawsuits coming. If those parents want to sue that school, they can sue Exeter, till the cows come home. They can sue them to oblivion. It was a blatant violation of HIPAA laws. Number one. Number two, oh my God. We're going to start numbering? When I said to you, putting numbers on students, having them followed, having them identified, whether they're dancing or at the punch bowl, or every three dances, put your hand up. Who are you dancing with? Okay. Who's this person? Okay. Okay. Where'd you go then? Where are you going now? I mean, I'm sorry. If this is not Nazi Germany, I don't know what the hell is. Literally, that's what the Nazis did. They put numbered tattoos on the prisoners going into Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Treblinka, and I can go on and on. That's what they did. And they had the Gestapo follow people around. And you're doing that to high school students at their prom? And you're deliberately, it's a system of medical apartheid. You are deliberately singling out. I'm sorry, the only thing missing was the yellow star. Just put the freaking yellow star on them. You're singling out the unvaccinated from the vaccinated, and you're making the unvaccinated feel like a bunch of hermits, like a bunch of pariahs. If I was a parent, I would be so livid. I cannot tell you how livid I would be at this. You're telling me you are putting numbers on my child? And you're treating her like she's some kind of, a leper? And you're doing this on her prom night or his prom night? I'm sorry, I gotta ask, are we so ignorant as a society? Really, have we so dumbed down that nobody at Exeter High School in New Hampshire said, guys, this is so eerily similar to the Holocaust, I can't tell you how offensive this is? How dangerous this is? This, my friends, is only the beginning if we don't say enough is enough. And they're trying to put these kids now under so much peer pressure to take the vaccine, to force them, to coerce them to take the vaccine. Now they're going to put numbers on them to let everybody know, look, they might as well just say, Jew, as they did under the Nazis.